making political capital out of rising gasoline prices.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Will rising gasoline prices become a big political issue in the upcoming presidential campaign? The Democrats apparently think so. Lawmakers in the House have been blasting President Bush this week for presiding over a rise in gas prices over the course of his presidency. Now, Hillary Clinton is demanding a Senate investigation into recent maintenance closures at several U.S. refineries, which have pushed prices higher. She also says oil firms should not be passing the cost of temporary shortages onto consumers. She says simply cannot continue to absorb the cost. Clinton is suggesting the oil companies should be forced to use some of their windfall profits to cushion price hikes. A hearing is being held on Capitol Hill today to examine how proposed changes in immigration policy might affect small businesses. Now, several recent studies have addressed the opposite question: how do changes in business conditions affect the flow of illegal immigrants? From the America's Desk at WLRN, Dan Gretsch has more.
Dawn McLaren at Arizona State University studied 16 years of Border Patrol data and found a startling trend. A full year before an economic downturn, the number of migrants apprehended at the Mexican border began to drop.
About a year ago, I looked at it and I said, we've gotten to a turning point because apprehensions are starting to slow down.
Apprehensions have now fallen 12 months in a row, a total drop of 27%.
And sure enough, a year later, we have, instead of 5.6% growth, we've got 1.3% growth in our economy.
Economist Pia Arrhenius is with the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas.
It's very closely correlated with how sectors are doing that employ a lot of immigrants, like construction, like agriculture, and like manufacturing.
With the housing bubble burst, economists expect the slowdown in illegal immigration to continue. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Now that Wall Street has had the chance to sleep on it, we'll be watching to see how investors will be reacting to yesterday's news from Bernanke and Company. They offered no indication of any immediate interest rate cut. But that didn't get in the way of the bulls. The Dow ended the day about 0.4% higher, up 53 points to 13,362. The Nasdaq gained 0.2%. The S&P 500 was up 0.3%. The European Commission is expected to pull the plug today on a multi-billion-dollar plan for a satellite navigation system. The Galileo project was supposed to challenge the dominance of the American global positioning system. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The European plan was to boldly go where, actually, somebody's already been before. Galileo was designed to rival America's GPS. At a cost of $9.5 billion, the Europeans wanted to have their own system, free from American control. But the consortium of eight private companies who were supposed to put up half the money couldn't agree on anything. So the Commission says, for the time being, it'll shelve the plan. Good riddance, says Barry Fox of New Scientist magazine.
The idea that Europe needs something simply because it's European seems absolutely ridiculous, and that clearly is why the manufacturers, who are supposed to be paying part of the cost, have decided that they don't want to pay part of the cost.
The Commission insists that Galileo isn't dead and might now be 100% funded by the taxpayer. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, celebrating women and women's health. Information and resources on women's health issues available at womenshealth.gov. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
If you're a sports fan on the go, you've got all kinds of new ways to fill up on the latest in sports news. One new venture will put high-definition TV screens at gas pumps, starting out in major cities, playing constantly updated sports news and highlights, along with some ads, of course. That's just one of the innovations to keep sports fans up to date 24/7. David Carter has been looking into this. He's the executive director of the USC Sports Business Institute. Hi, David.
Good morning.
So It's looking like a veritable sports smorgasbord out there, really. But how likely is it that people are going to fill up on all there is that's being offered here? Is this really going to be a big opportunity for sports marketers?
Well, I think it really is. It's not just sports marketers. It's anybody that's out there trying to reach folks. The rapid emergence of technology is at the forefront, and sports fans who have this voracious appetite for all things, highlights, statistics, you name it, are looking for ways, additional ways, to pull that content into them.
What am I being offered now as a sports consumer that I haven't had access to before?
Well, I mean, you go back, and some people are still adopting the fact that you can get highlights and other information on your iPod or through your cell phone or PDAs. All that stuff has become rather customary. But we saw a couple of things this week. First of all, was GSTVS, gas station TV, now going to be rolling out these high-definition televisions at gas stations. And those will be showing highlights from ESPN at the gas station. And so, you know, that's a little bit of a strange place, you might think, to reach sports fans.
It is.
maybe more traditionally this past week. If you're a basketball fan, you're now able to download NBA playoff games from last season and this year for about $3 a pop.
Now, am I going to be able to go back to some of those famous highlights and pull those into whatever device I might have?
I think eventually you're certainly going to be able to do that, because these video libraries are out there, and there's just no doubt that you're going to see a lot more of that information and video available.
Now, this is coming available really fast here, it seems to me. Do the sports marketers face any challenges as they rush to offer these new services? I'd imagine that there's probably as much risk in being first in the sports arena as there might be in not taking advantage of the latest technology.
Well, I think that's correct. But for me, the primary challenge may really begin and end with the athlete themselves. They're likely going to want to be sure that they get their fair share of these emerging revenue streams.
Uh-huh.
They always do.
Athletes aren't really accustomed to getting residuals, are they?
No, they're not. But I guess one of the other things we're seeing about this is as these things lurch forward, sports, again, is becoming much more like the entertainment model.
David Carter is executive director of the USC Sports Business Institute. Thanks for joining us, David.
Thank you.
And I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. Thank you for making us a part of your morning. You can take it with you, you know, Marketplace, that is. All our programs are available by podcast at marketplace.org.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.